Good Friday afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we're here until the hour of six. Today we wrap up the week with one of our favorite topics. Actually, this is everyone's favorite topic. Poverty eradication. It's a very, you know, it's an interesting combination of words. But that's just in theory. Now, in practicality, it's, like they say, pretty much everything is easier said than done. Today's conversation is more like today's discussion is around basic income grant. Or, you know, in other countries, it seems it's known as Universal Basic Income Grant, as UBIG. And, you know, you're looking at it as a universal income grant or basic income grant, it's still basically referring to the same thing. It's a poverty, call it, putting it in the Namibian language, is a poverty eradication mechanism. It's a poverty eradication mechanism employed by not only Namibia, although Namibia have not employed it yet. It's at least not to, not on, not in a universal sense of the word. And that's to say, what we are basically looking at is, what we're basically looking at is the implementation of the basic income grant. So that's the question that, like any other country that would like to alleviate the financial burden on its citizens. At some point, they have had, explored the basic income grant idea. Some have employed it. Some have, not employed it yet. So, as for the land of the brave, that is basically where we find ourselves, we are also, considering that idea. Now, the National Council Standing Committee on Health, Social Welfare, and Labor Affairs. My God, these guys know how to come up with names. But anyway, putting all that aside, they decided to embark on a fact-finding mission. That's their term, by the way. I didn't coin that up. They decided to go on a fact-finding mission to find out, looked at the pilot projects, what do you call the pilot project? It's not a project of a bunch of pilots flying planes everywhere. And it's more often just a trial run. We're just giving it a shot. You have a lot of people that are, giving it a shot and see if they're compatible before they get married. Just like that, but less emotionally engaged type of fact-finding mission that the standing committee coming out of the National Council went to do. And what they basically went to dig out is this basic income grant. This is basically an analysis of our economy. The basic income grant, if we are to implement it, what are the findings? What do you have to do?
Helmut, it's not just the economy. This is the life and the soul of how to correct something discussion.
Good afternoon to you too, Dwight. Have a seat.
Don't worry, I don't love you, Helmut. It doesn't go that far.
No.
But anyway, yes.
I have my fingers crossed and hope we don't go that far.
You weren't supposed to pass me the hot potato bag.
You started. Yeah. So, poverty eradication. Every government has a plan to alleviate financial burden, because a lot of social issues can be traced back to, can be attributed to a lot of financial problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, basic income grant is an idea that we are basically, it's an idea that we are entertaining, and we seem, from the, uh, you know, from the, from the National Council report here on health, social welfare, and labor affairs. We've given it a shot, and there's a trial run, and we decided more of a pilot program. And we decided, you know what? Let's see if this is something that can work for us. Now the National Council Standing Committee here decided to go out there and more like basically do an analysis of what it takes, what are the possible challenges. And believe me, I went through their recommendations. It's very depressive because, again, it's speaking, money, 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 money.
No, Helmut, I didn't even have to go to the recommendations because the fact-finding mission in Omitara, literally see, if you start the thing here, what change took place? And it was just for 2 years.
Sustainability.
No. Okay. Add on the sustainability.
Yeah.
But just look at what giving every person, respective of their age, whether they're a pension person, whether they're a person living with disability, whether the person is already
in poverty. Now, let's define living in poverty.
Everyone is in the poverty bracket there. Remember, that's what the report qualifies for when they showed up.
Uh-huh.
So, they obviously went and spoke to residents of Omitara.
Yeah.
And I've only heard about this particular pilot project, but I haven't seen a report about the pilot project because it's mentioned over there. Guess what? It was mentioned. Remember the Namibia mention in the open AI research report that you and I did, the one from Sam Altman last year.
Mm-hmm.
Namibia was in that report. They referenced Namibia's Omitara, a pilot project.
Giving it a shot.
Remember how excited I was last year when Sam Altman referenced Namibia and Brazil for an American template for an adoption of a basic income
grant.
No, he used the word universal basic income grant in that report.
That's the one that's used on a lot of international documents that I went through.
Yeah, and that's why when we started this discussion on the impact of AI,
mm-hmm.
because Sam Altman funded a research program in terms of looking at potentially
if everyone
is going to be made redundant by AI, what should give people their livelihoods? Because remember, you and I asked the critical question: if all these companies are using AI to produce things, who's going to have the money to buy their stuff
when everyone is being rendered jobless?
Exactly, who's going to buy their stuff?
That's shot in the foot. Shotgun.
That then led to the particular, it automatically led them to ask this question. There's going to be Helmut, because here's the thing. Not everyone is going to study at university.
No.
Not everyone is going to show up at a vocational training center. And that's part of the things that the political leaderships across the world don't realize. Now, you go to university and you decide to study, arts, because you don't want to waste time learning law.
Mm-hmm.
You go and study performing arts.
Yep.
And you study to become an actor or a singer, stuff like that. Because in the UK and in Australia, they literally accredit you with a certification of training that you went through the London whatever College of Arts or the whatever Department of Arts. That's why the actors are so good and so versatile. The same too also in Australia. You come to the American side of things, and you find out the person only studied English, but they're an actor. Or the person studied something else, like Megan Thee Stallion, who's a rapper, but she finished a business admin degree, I think. The thing that she went to graduation for last year. It was a business-related degree, bruh. She's a rapper.
Yep.
She's a rapper. Little John, the other rapper.
Uh-huh.
Who went to private schools. He's a rapper.
Yep.
He doesn't need, he needs the money because he became a superstar from it. The same with Lil Wayne. Went to private schools.
Actually, you have a lot of them. One of my favorite, example, when it comes to that who is this guy, Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah.
Rowan.
Yeah.
The man is an electrical engineer. I think he's a master's or something. So he decided.
You seen that interview of what led to him becoming Mr. Bean?
No.
It was by accident, Helmut. He was telling a story, according to the one, and I accidentally saw this interview last week. he told the story of how he became an actor. Because remember, there were things that he did before he was given the gig for Mr. Bean. Mm-hmm. The whole sketch, the whole proposal.
Yeah.
And all he did was someone dared him to do an improv, you know, improvisation.
Yeah.
At a specific public event. And he was good for making family and friends laugh when he, you know, those faces that Mr. Bean pulls.
Yeah.
That high eyebrows, but the mouth and everything contorts here.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. That's not something you train into someone.
No.
No.
But that's something that they did out of fun.
Yeah.
Usually the best footballers were people that learned how to play football in the street, in street soccer.
Yeah.
Your best rugby players were playing rugby in the backyards. So they honed their skills. They knew the knocks. I'm going to let it hang there, Helmut.
You see, the iron here is, two also interesting examples. I think, Pirates of the Caribbean, Johnny Depp was only supposed to have like a few lines. But then, his creativity ended up with him basically taking over the entire franchise.
Yeah. And because they didn't realize he was such a versatile actor.
Yeah. Which he is. He even showed it in court during his divorce. But
Helmut, that guy should not hear this podcast ever in his life.
Never and ever.
Never in his life you should hear this podcast. He might even laugh.
Yeah, that's a good part. Yeah, that's a good part. He's most likely going to laugh. And also one guy who's this, the guy that plays the character of, of King Julian in Penguins of Madagascar. It's supposed to be just like one or two lines, but his creativity just ended up with, just turn this whole script upside down.
Mm.
You are the main character, man. It must have been embarrassing for the main character.
Well, it's the same thing with the other actor. What's the actor that played that was also in the Pirates of the Caribbean, the Jeffrey Rush's character, Captain Barbosa.
Yeah.
The guy with the rotten teeth. You remember?
Yeah.
It was so obvious. I mean, it was so obvious. Barbosa, the actor of Barbosa, Jeffrey Rush. Jeffrey Rush is known for his intense and versatile acting. The same too for other UK-based actors who are accredited. They are trained. They get a diploma or a degree that says you were trained from this college or from this institution. Fast forward into our discussion now, because at the heart of all that, in most cases, go look at the scenarios that exist in those countries. They have sufficient enough social safety nets
that enables them to do that.
Exactly. That enables them to expand, practice something else, fall into another industry. This is not like, let's hope you play cricket, you like the cricket, and you continue playing the cricket. I can't be a defensive batsman the whole time of my life.
It's a good thing you took the direction of the versatility that social safety nets enables people to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have a lot of football players and actors that are literally qualified professors. These are a bunch of educated guys. And, Sylvester Stallone, Rambo talking about, Dolph,
Lundgren.
That's the name I can't pronounce. Sylvester Stallone explaining why he doesn't like Dolph.
Apparently no one liked Dolph. The guy was a model, Helmut, before he became an actor.
And you know what else he is?
What?
A chemical engineer.
Of course.
He's smart in the class. He's good looking. Rambo was like, what the heck? Now, it's the choice of words that Sylvester Stallone uses that, the guy skipped the evolution by 5 years ahead of, 5 years ahead of everyone else. like 1,000 years of evolution ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
He's good looking. He has a type of hair that you need a lawnmower to cut. And he has a...
does an Italian-American hate on a Swedish immigrant converted American?
I know. They're both immigrants. talk about friendly fire. But the point is, social safety nets.
Yeah.
That is one of those things that took me, you know, back was that last year about a year or two ago, when the application for, you know, was that Defense Force recruitment came out.
Yeah.
And now there was this sort of like tension going on, you know, in the recruitment process. It's not that it's something illegal. It's just that a lot of people, you know, are basically now. I think this is going to negatively impact our, you know, our security, our Ministry of Security, Ministry of Defense, in terms, you know, in terms of manpower.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people that you know, that find themselves in those, you know, in those careers. Really don't have, okay, they are just, the chances are very high, more, you know, you'll find a bunch of guys that are there out of necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a necessity. Helmut, actually, before we continue, brah, I have to disclose something I watched last night. An hour and 10 minutes of a political science,
lecture,
academic interviewing an economics academic, because the economics academic recently released her fourth book. The political science academic, who's German, and they were conducting this in English, by the way. One is Italian, the other one is German. So the political science academic, Daniel Tut, is interviewing, Clara Mattei, and she's the economist.
Yeah.
And her particular book was based upon how fascism leads to austerity, or austerity leads to modern-day fascism, or modern-day right-wing governments popping up. This is obviously in relation to the rise of ultra-conservative or extreme or right-wing extreme politicians popping up in certain landscapes across the world. So yeah. You've got guys like, for example, the noise that, what's the guy's name from South Africa? EFF's guy, Malema.
Yeah.
We've got a few particular guys here in Namibia, but because of proximity, I won't mention Nemus.
Yeah, I don't have bodyguards.
Like you said, I won't mention Nemus.
Yeah, we don't want to mention any Nemus.
You go into other parts of Africa, you see the same, similar particular template. You get into Europe, but she's obviously talking from a European context. But the thing is just, I've looked at or seen too much similarities in what she's explained there. Helmut, there was a situation in 1919 and 1920, just after the First World War and before the League of Nations was begun. There was an oversupply of labor, and workers literally realized that they can actually run companies and factories and produce it to their heart's content and participate, primarily because there was this rebuilding initiative that it was needed, and this rebuilding aspect that was required. Then all the economics academics that existed back then were approached by the political establishment in terms of how do you actually control an economics or an economic situation. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just summarizing that 1 hour, 10 minutes of video that I watched, literally now just in this 5 minute snippet. Now, this obviously has a great bearing on socioeconomic development in a country. Because the moment you've got certain particular zones in your national setup conspiring over the workforce to literally to find a way in terms of how to firstly generate artificial demand. So what does artificial demand sometimes look like or manifest in? Sometimes scenarios of like you need to have a return on investments on investments. But remember, I just explained to you, according to Clara Mattei, in Italy, the workers, the factory workers, realized that they could work and produce because there was a demand from the markets. They could work and produce without any constraints being put on them. Because now that the war is done, many of those people that were in the army or that were fighting now had to come back. So now there was once again an oversupply of labor. So the, just imagine that picture and you can automatically deduce or you can fill in further on scenarios that you could see have taken place in history. Now she obviously goes further. She goes up until the installation of Mussolini because that's what her particular,
hence the right wing rise example.
Exactly. They also conspired because what you realize with right wing, politicians is that they hate unionists. They hate unions and they hate labor unions and they hate the aspect that workers should have a say. Remember that. Our failed Austrian painter was one such person. He hated communists. Communists and unionists were labeled as being part of the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
But his party was a socialist supposed party.
Supposed.
Now, when you look at that picture that I'm just describing to you, right? At the heart of this, somewhere, firstly, political elites back then were competing for the interests and to be the focal point of being in control of the destiny of the whole country. Just remember that picture.
Yeah. So it's about what? Control?
Well, it always will be.
Yeah.
Economically, politically,
it will always, yeah.
It's just when everyone should, that's why I love the courts. That's why I love the judiciary. Mm-hmm. The judiciary doesn't care. We had one specific very good example at the start of this year, the Red Line case. I loved it because it wasn't a discussion of what political station you operated mm-hmm. or occupied or what economic station you occupied. The crux of the matter is, like you and I knew already before then,
mm-hmm.
the court wants to know, why are we here?
That's why did you bring us here?
Exactly. Okay. It wasn't a criminal case.
Make your claim and then back it up.
Yeah. It wasn't a criminal case because a criminal case is always the state versus XYZ.
Yeah.
This was XYZ versus XYZ.
Let's iron this out.
So.
Not even Jesus died twice, my Lord.
No, but that's why I love the civil proceedings or civil court cases because they help interpret to you, Helmut, the merits of a case, the validity upon the arguments. And right there, what were some of the technicalities that were thrown out? Report not being the permission of the author of the report, it was a report, not having been sought. And that this report showed up as an ambush technique in a trying to understand the particular functions of why are we there. Okay, functions is the wrong word, but the real reason as to why are we there.
Yeah.
But anyway, that particular digression, now I know that is somewhat abstract and it's a bit macro level.
Let's start from Italy.
Yeah.
Let's start from Italy. The question that I always ask, even when it comes to the rise of, of the Austrian painter to power is, it almost always boiled down to, if not always boiled down to, every time there was a revolution, find out what was the economic, socio-economic situation for the people on the ground before that revolution.
Mm.
Then you see that every revolution is coming out of a very bad socioeconomic situation.
Mm.
Now, it's very, after reading the story of everything that, everything that guys like the Austrian painter, throw a lot of figures in there that also just flat out dictators.
Mm.
What gave them a lot of support? There was an idea that they were selling to the people to gain support.
Yeah.
Now that, an idea that is sold by a lot of guys with a very ill intent trying to climb the power, the power structure.
Ladder,
the power ladder is, they always find something that the public wants to hear and then tell them that. And which is why if you look at, guys like the Austrian painter, I don't think that guy wrote a speech. Every time he took the audio,
the podium. No, his speeches were written by his number two.
Joseph Goebbels.
I didn't want you to mention the guy's name.
The point is.
Do you know that one of the issues Goebbels was, what's the word? He had a German Jewish fiance. And the Austrian painter made him break that engagement.
Friendship of the year, people.
Remember, the two of them were not blonde-haired and blue-eyed guys. But they were preaching that there was a superior race that only had blonde hair and blue eyes and had a certain height and certain jawline and shit and all that. But
I can imagine what
happened. When you went to go look at the two of them, you were like, now where, your gospel doesn't seem to sit good with the two.
I can imagine what happened to you if you pointed that out.
Yeah, I probably would have been an experiment back then. I mean, I would have been an experiment.
Now, one thing you see is that, behind every revolution, there was an economic chaos.
Yeah.
What's one of the main reasons that led to a lot of liberation struggle movements is because, it's because of the whole segregation stories.
Yeah.
It's because, one race was held on a pedestal and the other was, was isolated in a lot of ways, not only politically, but also economically and socially. That made them gang up against the powers that be.
Mm.
So having conversations around a basic income grant as a, socio-economic cushion is a brilliant idea. But before that, commercial break.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply.
Audio mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM enya mukuru olongaha ninge kwatafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano that is 0817147116 mamberewa konorahita tu natu mbali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila Monica@eaglefm.com.na Opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
So, basic income grant is a socio-economic cushion is a brilliant idea. Especially if you look at two things, coming back home. Using the home example here in Namibia, that we have a high unemployment rate. And the painful thing is, even if you don't fall in the unemployment category and you fall in the employed category, then it brings up another question of income. Do you have enough income to to afford not to live in survival mode? And that's where you see a lot of statistics that's coming out that a lot of people that are classified as employed are actually getting, trying. You can't live on $1,000 a month. You can only try.
Yeah.
And that's a serious struggle.
Helmut.
Actually, I still have no idea how they pull that off because that's how much I spent, on transport.
Reading in this report, and I know, guys, I'm slightly sorry that we took you to Hobabas and brought you back with everything before five, the discussions before five. But reading in this report, the positive impact and change on the ground.
Yeah.
Every person in that settlement, in that town, got $100. Respective if you already are on the old age pension grant or if you're already on any other, the disability grant system back then.
Mm-hmm.
Every person got a piece of money. It led to economic activity starting up.
Yeah.
They started businesses. They started other initiatives to help each other. They started to save money here. People could send children back to school because there was no food or even the ability to finance sending a kid, a child, to an institute that's already dispensing the education for free. But to get to the institute is the challenge. To get to the institute, to get to the outlet, to get to the distribution point is the issue. But when you gave them, when people got that $100 per month, Helmut, this is the kind of report I wanted. Not 17 years later. Not 17 years later to have heard, Helmut, at every engagement where the Basic Income Grant Coalition guys were at, accusations from the powers that be were that in government who highlighted, yeah, people will go and drink and spend money on alcohol. I cannot believe for the life of me the level of cynicism in this country. That we think the worst of each other.
Okay,
But alcohol, ne?
Yeah.
Is a business. Selling alcohol is a business.
Okay.
It's an employment creator.
Okay, now just here. Now, one question. It's a good
thing. It's a wealth creator.
It's a good thing that's coming up on Friday.
Look, I'm not giving suggestions here, guys. Hint, hint.
Me neither. But look, if your excuse for not giving people, socioeconomic, more like some kind of a financial, easy methods like the basic income grant, is they are going to go out and drink. Let's just be honest here.
But it's
what do you use your money for?
Yeah, but what do you think would have happened, Helmut, if let's say Eagle FM found out you drink on your payday, you go and buy yourself one beer because you haven't drank a beer for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
At the end of every month, when you receive your salary from Eagle FM,
yeah,
you go buy that one beer. Now someone shows up and tells, whoever does the payroll here at the company, Dwight buys himself a six pack of beer. I don't think
you shouldn't be paying him now.
Don't pay him his salary, even though I worked.
Yeah.
And I delivered. But now someone else is saying, yeah, don't pay Dwight his salary because, or diminish it or penalize him because we think, alcohol is a negative impact.
Okay.
On who?
Now at this point, you are just assuming that
exactly.
Yeah. Well, everyone that you will give that money is going to have, is going to use it in some questionable way. And, this is where I think assuming is not a very good way of reaching to, of driving to conclusion.
I just hope you don't use that pun, eh?
No. That's not how I lose my salary.
Please.
You see, the thing is, why assuming it's a bad idea. It's because you will then, there's someone, like you just pointed out, people that were benefiting from the pilot project of the basic income grant, some of them used it in a positive way.
Yeah.
Now, imagine if we just decided not to start the whole program on the assumption that, they are going to just, go ahead and start drinking. By the way, chances are very high the person that's using that as an excuse, or more like using that, coming up with that justification, has whiskey in his cabinet.
Yeah. He or she is now going home, stopping at some of the big retailers, and they're loading up a six pack of something.
Yeah.
But they are in the pound seats to make a decision for someone else that has no other opportunity. Helmut, this is literally these kinds of reports, the reports that you and I have been looking at.
Mm-hmm.
This is now basically going from the micro to the macro, because this report went and looked at a micro level.
Yeah.
Spoke to the people on the ground, spoke to the stakeholders that were participating in this particular endeavor, realized that all the discourse about an income grant being universal was a lie. Was all based upon a lie. This is a scientific process. You and I know it. This is a scientific process that these National Council members did.
Yeah.
They were overwhelmed. That's why I told you, I didn't even have to read the recommendations. When I stopped at that part, when they literally interviewed the people and they listed the socioeconomic
impacts. Are the advantages you have gained in this program?
The impact.
They're for like, well, years. First of all, thank you.
For 2 years, people could send their kids back to school. Because here we think that just having the school or the education for free is a qualifier that now everything is done. But you can't get to the aspect of the household where the household is struggling. That means, Helmut, our economic system is technically flawed. Because if you don't have money in this economy, how are you going to live? Then you get the malnutrition of Omeke, Kunene, the two Kavangos, Komas, because we've got, we've also have people living in, people in the informal settlements and other parts of Komas,
yeah,
who live in destitution. If you don't realize this particular dimension, I'm sorry. That's why I kept saying with a malnutrition discussion.
Yeah.
But I see food in the shops. What are people talking about?
Then that means if you have, I think we talked about this last year.
We spoke about
that. If there is malnutrition going on outside a grocery store, then you know that the food access is not the problem.
It's means
to
money.
Access the food.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
What was the thing that helped these people start initiatives, started acting and started investing in positive outcomes? Access to money.
Give them access to money.
Most of that community of Omitara were living on the payouts of the pensioners. Remember, this is 2008, 2009, Helmut. What was the monthly payment that the people got back then? I think it was a 500. 500 to 700. 500, Helmut.
Jeez.
500. That's why I don't understand why people were calling for the pension grant, the old age grant, mm-hmm, to be enlarged when President Nandi Ndaitwa came into office.
Yeah.
People were calling on that, that adjustment or increment to be applied.
Yeah.
Because that percentage is less than 10% of people.
Yeah.
And I already know, and you know it, that there are people that specific bracket of the demographic is under pressure. That demographic, Helmut, needs care and support. It does not need a further burden to feed mouths.
But that's exactly what they're doing.
That's exactly what they're doing. So you won't be solving anything by enlarging this part, which is less than 10%. Yeah, it's easy for an accountant. An accountant will go like, yeah, let's amend some numbers here and there. Let's make it look fancy over here and there. Let's meet some particular political targets over here and there.
PowerPoint.
You know, and then there's a PowerPoint. Then we, the media, get invited. We now have, as the media, we have to go, ooh, and ah, then that presentation.
And look at that.
And it's boom and bam and there's flashing lights and everything. And people are having a fancy launch just for enlarging on the ends. On the two opposite ends of the demographic the distribution of Namibia. But they're not solving even youth unemployment. And what happened? These guys could employ the young people, send them back to schools, clothe them, feed them, start initiatives, help to build each other's homes up, because most of the homes that were there were literally covered with plastic sheeting. That was their walls. Plastic sheeting. They didn't even have money for corrugated iron. I'll let that sink in. Because the detractors of a universal basic income grant have to hear this. If you want to know what this report is, it's free to download on the Parliament's website. Go and look for it, guys. However, Helmut was about to make a point. I had to pull my handbrake there for a while.
Oh no, look, you wanna read this. Okay, it's 12 minutes past the hour of 5. So let me just go through, a few points under recommendations. The committee recommended the Ministry of Finance. Now, this is where you now see a lot of, now on the detractors, I don't have a lot of things to add from that.
Yeah.
Unless you are one of those people that, that is not having relatives that are financially, that you would put in the financially disadvantaged bracket, then there is no way I would just stand against, initiatives like this.
Mm.
The committee recommends the Ministry of Finance to propose constitutional amendments that introduce new taxes or on natural resources and tourism to increase revenue directed towards safety nets.
Which sounds solid to me, but I think that should actually be approached from a discussion element, because we established a sovereign wealth fund.
Yeah.
Why can't that sovereign wealth fund work as the Alaska, what is the Alaska thing's name? The Alaska something fund.
The annual one.
Yeah, the one that gives an annual payment.
Resources based, yeah.
Yeah, the one that gives an annual payment.
Yeah.
I told you what the highest payout was 2 years back in 2023, right?
Yeah, it was 3,200 US,
Yeah, $3,200.
Yeah.
Multiply that by 20, Helmut. 60 grand. 60,000 Namibian dollars.
As long as you just prove that you did not end up on the wrong side of the authorities.
You were living in that, you were living in that area for more than 12 months.
You see people driving at 80 kilometers an hour in 120.
And that's the basics. That's the basics. No, but that's literally what happened in this report.
Mm-hmm.
When this pilot project kicked off in Omitara, people from other areas started moving close by.
Yeah.
But what was the conditions that they had to meet? You should have been living there when the registration process was done in 2007. Because it kicked off in 2008.
Yeah.
You're supposed to run for a 2-year program into 2009.
We have a quick commercial break coming up, and then we'll continue at the other side to continue. We'll continue with this discussion. And that is a basic income grant. Big, for short.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% off its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Sixteen past the hour of five. Now, the next point I was going to make was the taxes part, because one thing that I see here is that we're busy providing tax incentives for both corporate and corporate and income.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a contradiction between creating more taxes and providing tax incentives all at the same time.
It's a particular balance, Helmut, because here's the thing. There's a tax. I already explained to you the tax about VAT. About VAT's existence.
Yeah.
There's so many products in Namibia that are not made in Namibia, but VAT is applied to them. Now that strategy, just that bare bones observation, explains to you already that the government needs an automatic revenue generation stream. That's what VAT does.
Mm-hmm.
VAT secures any kind of revenue for the country. Then you get importation VAT, the importation tax, which is applied to many of those products that are not made in Namibia.
Yeah. A lot of us that import products really don't like.
Yeah.
But that particular
tax, you can consider a tariff, because it's actually a penalty on us.
Yeah. But buying something from outside the country?
Yeah. And bringing in, whether you are an individual or whether you are a business person.
Yeah.
Now, all of us in this country, would not like the thing, would not like the idea of an extra tax.
Mm-hmm.
We would not like it.
Nope.
So firstly, that particular, like I explained to you, just on everything that's in your plate, it already makes it, would make anything immediately more expensive.
Yeah.
If another tax is brought in. And I've now once again done a little bit of an exercise. I've gone into the retailers because reading what economists are writing, and then I walk into a shop and they are saying the opposite of an interest rate. And I see the opposite of what ends up on my plate, which yeah. also helps to explain to me that sometimes these guys are not assessing actually to the truest extent yeah. in their estimations what the CPI consists of. Because, Helmut, here's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you see every second week a retailer has a special banner hanging on their specific shelves and refrigerators, then you know that consumers are technically boycotting the retailer. Technically. If the price is outside of the consumer's budget range, the consumer doesn't buy.
Yeah.
Now, if that multiplies the abstination of the consumer,
yeah.
it impacts the retailer because the retailer is importing this product.
Yep.
Jacob's Kroning is not manufactured in Namibia, nor in South Africa. It's packaged in South Africa, manufactured in Germany. I'll repeat that again. The coffees are not manufactured in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They're made somewhere else. So it's an import there, import to South Africa, repackaged in South Africa, distributed in Southern Africa. Now, if a product stands for too long on a shelf,
yeah.
the retailer has to start making
initiatives, sort of like maybe and most, discounts and stuff.
And most of it is discounts. Most of it is discounts. Now, what it actually means, it puts the retailer on pressure. And many people, many consumers go like, they're struggling. Look at them. Yeah, no one wants to buy their prices. The thing is, it is supply chain pressure.
It's a supply chain issue, yeah.
It's supply chain pressures. So because Gordon Gwana in South Africa wanted to bring in a 2% extra VAT addition on the 15% in South Africa, many Namibians, if Justicia did not do that story, many Namibians would have been sitting with a nightmare today because all the retailers would have just applied that 2% like that.
Yeah, because we get most of our products from there.
And the first issue for Minister Shafuda would have been, she would have had to call Gordon Gwana and ask him, like, hey, my guy, WTH, what are you doing to my economy? What are you doing? That would have been her first point of call.
Actually, this 2025 is a year to party. Where is he paid? And my next point.
Count on you to throw a brick into the river. So let's see if this brick floats. And then you just hear goom, goom, goom as it continues to drown. But
apart from the taxes, which I, you know, is having a little bit, of a problem wrapping my mind around. But obviously, you know, saying that something is a good initiative like the basic income grant is not enough. Obviously, the Minister of Finance, or basically the entire Namibian government, is now faced with a mammoth task of trying to figure out where the money is going to come from. Now, how do you ensure that it's sustainable? That's the first thing you want to figure out.
Yeah.
And by the way, we are not the only one implementing planning on implementing universal basic income grant. This is something that a lot of countries have been entertaining for a lot of reasons. Just a couple of weeks ago, I went through a story that was coming out of Kenya that was done by DW out of Germany.
Yeah.
And that is, that's of young people literally selling their organs, like literally.
Yeah.
Not in, as in the oldest profession, people are selling their kidneys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, this is basically a black market type of way because there is, the legality behind the sales is very questionable. I'm not giving you ideas.
Because I know about that thing. It's becoming bad.
Yeah, it's bad. And a lot of parents are only finding out when it's too late, when the, you know, when they
when
see
the
that
other kidney collapses, you know,
begins to be overwhelmed, yeah.
Or there's a runaway infection in the person's body,
yeah,
and they're busy suffering, yeah, or they fell into shock and into coma because the body was generating too much white blood cells.
White blood cells.
Do you know what septicemia is?
No.
It looks like pus, but it's actually that your body went into an overdrive of protection because it has to fight an infection, and it overproduces more white blood cells, actually pushing out all your red blood cells out of your blood. Yeah. And so there are no red blood cells to technically
transport oxygen
and nutrients throughout your body.
That's like suffocating from the inside.
Which COVID was. COVID was technically drowning in your own mucus. On the inside.
Yeah, you really want to watch what? Okay, now, one of the recommendations coming out is establish a one-stop agency to ensure effective and efficient administration management and payment of social grants. So we're just looking at the more of a layout of what a structure is, the importance of having a structure in place. Enhance visibility and publicity of available grants through various stakeholders and media platforms. Design and implement programs for vulnerable people in the age groups not catered for by, but 16.6 is one that I think took me back to a lot of basically every subject that we have. Data collection. Strengthen a data collection capacity to ensure all vulnerable Namibians are cushioned. Data collection. And then, if you're one of those people that is going, you know what? What about corruption? Yeah, relax. It was also accounted for. Design guidelines and monitoring mechanisms on the use of grants and qualification criteria. Now, who are we? Okay. Are we just going to give everyone, or we are looking for a specific demography? All these things also have to be established.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, Hamoud.
Yeah.
For some reason, first and foremost, we're not solving the reparations discussion. Once again, I have to run around to platforms and events where a genocide discussion happens. Reason why I'm once again bringing this up, dear listeners, if you did not know, much of Namibia's inequality is directly linked and entrenched in Namibia's particular genocide chapter.
Namibia's history.
Yeah. It's directly linked to it. We know who the, we know who the culprit is. The same too also for South Africa. South Africa knows the United Kingdom and the Netherlands are culprits. They know this. So when we have these particular discussions specifically, like also for today's particular discussion, Omitara's community, Hamoud, needed
push.
No, not push. I don't want to make it negative about any negative force, because a push is a negative force. If you throw your child into the pool and tell your child swim, that's most a negative push. Your child didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ask your child, do you want to swim? Yes or no?
Well, even if you ask them, they would have gone Google Gaga, but you just decided to be parent of the year and toss them in there anyway.
Because you want to build character somehow, something that's not measurable. What is character? So the pushing element, no, don't push people.
Mm-hmm.
Help them rather. So the assistance particular thing was this pilot project. Let's see what happens. It was literally, Helmut, this was an exploratory research platform.
Yeah.
The aspect was, let us see what happens. And it flourishes. You see positive change. Why are people worried about how many long neck beers you can go and buy? If that person knows it's $100 per month, they know it's a limited amount and they can't ask more. So you've got to make the best out of this opportunity that you've been given. So you need to improve your lives. That some people, I'll repeat it again, some opened up businesses, some helped each other to start a committee in terms of educating the community and how basically to make the best use of this $100 Namibian mm-hmm. per month. $100 Namibian back in 2008, 2009, Helmut, was a good sum, was a good starting point. Today, that $100 means nothing to you.
No.
It $100 means almost nothing to my car.
Well, this time of the month, it means everything. Come next week, Friday, it will not mean a lot.
Yeah.
But,
with all the public holidays in next week, yeah.
We're speaking of which, wait, Genocide Remembrance Day is next week, right?
Yeah, next week. Yeah. Wednesday, the 28th.
Yeah. Now, I'm just gonna bring you back to the report. The finding now.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you are lazy to read, just get the whole report and then down, you know, just please don't be lazy to read.
I'm but then the person will be lazy to you.
You know, just don't be lazy to read.
No, let them not be lazy to listen to us.
Yeah. Now, findings. This is coming from the report. The National Council Standing Committee on Health, Social Welfare and Labor Affairs undertook a visit to Oshivero Omitara to engage a big in the Omaheke region to engage basic income grant beneficiaries in an effort to avoid a groupthink. Where individuals conform to the majority opinion. This is not just like, you know, gather together and then we'll ask you, so how do you all feel about this program? Just like, you know, for some reason, George Carlin was right. When you put people in a big group, okay, the bigger the group is, the dumber the people become.
Yeah.
So individual consultation, then it's a brilliant idea. So you just give me from your experience.
Yeah.
How do you find this program? To avoid, and that's a very interesting term, groupthink, to, you know, to influence someone's, someone's point of view on a subject. We're going to take a commercial break and we'll continue on the other side. Then we'll go into the, basically into details of the finding, but it's just one paragraph, guys.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Now, welcome back. Now, this is... The individual interviews allowed the committee the flexibility to foster trust and comfort, as well as the ability to clarify misunderstanding and follow up on responses. Beneficiaries were encouraged to share their views freely during deliberations. Beneficiaries informed the committee that now here's the thing. First of all, look, this is more like this was a genius idea, because if you ask me, take, for example, we are here at work.
Yeah.
John comes and calls all of us together and, he's now asking, how do you feel about your salary? And then you next, how do you feel? No one will feel comfortable talking about. But just, this one-on-one discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the changes that this small amount of more like a trial run basic income grant? Obviously, even if I was a beneficiary of that initiative, there is no way I'll give you negative news of that information, because, well, first of all, I will want you to continue that initiative.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll want you to continue that initiative. I'll just tell you, well, this is how much I'm making it work, and also please show evidence. Don't show up wasted and like, well, the reason why I'm drunk, dear committee, is because of that $100. Come on. You can do better than that. But, I know. But, look, the point is, individual consultations was a brilliant idea. And, obviously, the pilot program, seems to have indicated overall that, you know, there's more good than the anticipated bed that came out of the pilot project. Now, before the introduction of the basic income grant, the main source of income at the settlement was old age pension grant. In 2007.
Do you know what's the worst of that picture, Hamoud, of that community in Omitara? A lot of them were farm workers that were made redundant by farmers.
You keep pointing out also that a lot of farmers, especially, a lot of farmers, have gone, transition from, either animal husbandry crop to just, flat out, resorts.
Yeah. So, and Omitara is in the Khobabas area in Omaheke.
Yeah.
So it's, okay, not Khobabas area, sorry, in Omaheke region. So what people need to understand here was the impact that a certain particular developments have in an economic sphere of things, whether it even be agriculture, has, and if it's negative impacts, negative developments that lead to negative impacts, there should be a safety net that has to be achieved. There should be.
Remember our, our central bank and the introduction of the, the introduction of,
the sovereign wealth fund.
Not sovereign, the, gold reserve.
Yeah.
To provide overall, economic cushion for the entire country. So that's on a national level.
No, not for the country. Mm-hmm. It's for the currency.
For the currency. Well, that's the country.
No, Hamad.
Well, if the current, okay, this is from, global economic shocks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if the currency is cooked, so are we.
Yeah. But it's cooked because we don't have any manufacturing to back it up.
Yeah.
Because if you had manufacturing, all you need to do is just shift it and sell it to someone else. You just repurpose it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why everyone is shouting and screaming at the top of their lungs about the global recession of what Trump is doing. But then all I'm seeing is China just pivoting everything else. Now China and Europe are best of buddies. China and Europe are best of buddies.
Japan and France are buddies.
Japan and China are best of buddies now.
Yemen have been told they can rearm again. Talk about a bad idea.
So you're now going to see there's a lot of money going to come through because everyone is now sick and tired. We know about the first playbook that Trump tried in 2016. Now he's trying the same particular ridiculous stuff. These antics of this and this, Helmut, I'll also give you another forecast.
Yeah.
These antics that Trump pulled with Ramaphosa.
Oh yeah, that,
On Wednesday.
Yeah, I talked about that in the morning. Two straight guys gossiping with a PowerPoint. I mean, it's a waste of taxpayers' money.
No, but if you really understood what happened there, because for John Steenhuisen, who's the opposition party leader of South Africa.
Yeah.
To defend Ramaphosa.
Then
Steenhuisen is, his blood is boiling.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking this as an insult.
Yeah.
Because this is against South Africa. Because Steenhuisen even said, there is no such thing. We don't know what you're talking about.
Can't dive into that. Back to my, gold reserve, gold reserve discussion.
Yeah.
That's a, like you pointed out, that's a backup plan to cushion our currency against global economic shocks.
Yeah.
So that means, so the basic income grant is an extension, it's by far a socio-economic cushion for an ordinary Namibian.
Yeah.
Especially if you have seen the unemployment statistics.
Yes.
It could not have come at the right time.
No. Which is very crucial because I am a passive proponent of an income grant.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Helmut. The range and discussion primarily of other services that have to be done or have to be inaugurated, have to be committed to. That's why I realized back in last year that there are, this is now when I'm playing blame game again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cluster of people that are responsible for not doing their part in the other regions of this country. Who are they once again? I identified them already. The other local authorities and the other regional authorities. They are not driving economic activity. They're not trying to help the local businesses in their communities and in their vicinities to help their region. They're not.
What would be an example of, local authority leaders helping their businesses?
Okay, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
2 weeks back, City of Windhoek bought and donated.
Ah, yeah.
But specially fitted trucks for special reason of refuse removal. And they donated it to a whole bunch of other local authorities.
Yeah.
City of Windhoek paid with its money. City of Windhoek has no responsibility to any other local authority.
Mm-mm.
They bought with their money trucks, mm-hmm. refuse removal trucks
yeah.
for the other towns. Just for rubbish to be removed every Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, whatever, from your house and those other towns. Now I need to ask you, Helmut, how does that happen? That the other towns that got these trucks don't have money to buy their own trucks. How bad has the situation become for these other local authorities that they can't foot or fit or fund their own expenditure? What are they doing exactly with their operational budgets? Is it just to pay water and lights?
Well, we have seen from the bills coming out of some local authorities who won't mention that they are not doing that either. They're paying for water and lights. And
we're not talking about the Rundu one.
No, I would never do that. But the thing is, one thing...
Is it Katima?
No, that's Katima? No, that's Rundu. Okay, because I'm from there, let's go with Katima. Because France is not here. But look... The point he just made earlier about the sovereign wealth fund.
Mm.
How come it's not in the recommendations of this? No?
They didn't know about it. You can clearly see if they didn't factor something in.
Yeah.
They didn't think about it. Because if your recommendation is about just applying more taxes, are the politicians also going to be paying more taxes?
That's the question.
Are they also going to be paying more taxes?
And also you see a little bit even contradiction in terms, because first of all, even if the tax that you increased was towards take for example a corporate tax, that means businesses will have to pay that tax.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to the services and products that this business offer?
Those services and products become more expensive.
Then that means you are just
Then we sit with an inflation crisis in Namibia.
Yeah,
because the guys from this committee are just making a recommendation for the sake of making it, because they think a tax solves everything. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Look, this is where I find Ronald Reagan's point of view on how the government makes money very interesting, that the government makes a point of money in mostly two basic ways. It's either tax the heck out of people or go out and borrow, most of which are inflationary in nature. Basically, one way or another, even if, take, for example, a government goes and borrow money, that money will be taxed from the people either way.
Yeah.
So you might as well just tax them instead of going to borrow, because whatever amount you're going to borrow, to pay it back, you'll have to pay the principal amount plus interest. Now you will have to make that money somehow. So you're just back to square one. What are you going to do?
But here's the weird thing of Ronald Reagan's issue. Remember, Helmut, he's a neoliberal, politician.
Oh yeah, he's no angel.
Now, this is now where things differentiate between Namibia and the US or Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, when he borrows money, he doesn't borrow from the rest of the world.
Well, he can print it for one.
Yeah, but to print that money, he first needs to borrow it.
Yeah.
So who does he borrow from? He borrows from his own, the rich people in the US and the rich companies in the US. He borrows from them first. So when they say, yes, we like the terms that you're giving us for the money we are giving you, then they print the money. If Namibia does the same thing, which is the bonds, remember the bond market. That's the instrument by which the money is borrowed.
Yeah.
If Namibia does it, Namibia has to float it in Namibia and it has to float it in South Africa. The bond market is, Namibia's bond is traded in South Africa.
Yeah.
So we borrow from Namibian rich people, and we borrow from South African rich people, companies and individuals.
Yeah.
Hence the reason why, if you ever try to inquire, and if you ever listen to the discussions that Kanjengo had previously when he spoke about bonds being available, government bonds being available for purchase,
mm-hmm.
What was the buy-in that you needed? $10,000 Namibian dollars. The minimum.
Yeah.
How many people have $10,000 Namibian dollars from that 500,000 Namibians that have jobs in Namibia, Helmut? Hence the reason why the bond market for an individual is for a slightly privileged cluster of Namibians.
Yep.
If you have 10,000 just like that to just
lying around.
Just lying around, just for the fun of it. That's you. Then the your government owes you that money. And you get a lovely payday. You get a lovely payday.
Yeah, I have a few friends that are getting that lovely paydays from that, believe me.
Yeah, I know.
And, then there's the, some of the things they complain to. People with money.
Yeah.
I mean, they will run to a broke guy like me. You know, I really, really have a problem. What's your problem? My mom bought for me a car. What's your problem again? So, really hold the edge not to punch someone in the face. I have real problems here. taxing is not something that I would actually, recommend.
Yeah.
Because, taxing is only going to increase the price of the products and services, especially when it comes to corporate tax. And that's going to have a knock-on effect because that price is going to be paid by the end consumer.
Yeah.
The end consumer is the same person that we want to cushion from the high prices. So
let me give you another particular. It's not a disaster strategy, but it's filled with burden.
Yeah.
Let me give you another position, Helmut, also. So, in this particular green energy transition that Namibia is now experiencing, obviously.
Yeah.
Now there's all these particular, we get all these particular, what's the term that I was told? Not the word donate, there's the other one. Funding.
Okay.
So now all kinds of funding is coming into Namibia's sort of like green energy transition progress and the whole particular ecosystem around that.
Mm-hmm.
Young people are being subsidized, yes, subsidized to go and study certain particular programs at certain particular institutions, government institutions in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subsidized whole setup.
Yeah.
Now, if you are outside of that whole sector, ne Helmut, let's say you are studying drama, but you have to pay for that thing or you have to go and sign a loan agreement with NASFAF, to be funded to finish your 3-year program. But someone that's studying a highly skilled particular, program at a government institution, you're also at a government institution,
mm-hmm.
Studying drama, but you are told go borrow money somewhere and you are legally and financially accountable for that money being repaid when you complete your studies.
Yeah.
Here, you get a bunch of students that are, in order to achieve certain particular metrics in the green energy transition, these particular students are subsidized on everything. Except for their living costs.
Mm.
Subsidized on everything else pertaining towards the studying part. Now I ask you, where's the particular fairness or the balancing act that's taking place there?
Nowhere. Yep.
Someone that now, let's say you go study conventional engineering at another particular Namibian institution, government institution, but your parents have to pay out of their pocket. Or let's say you could study a specific medical course and your parents have to pay out of their pocket for you to complete your studies. And you sometimes have to work a part-time job just to fund your particular, your other particular needs and expenses. Né? But students that are pertaining to this green energy transition discussion are subsidized entirely. Now, next year, the burden on the government will be extra because now the burden next year, Helmut, will be the whole of government universities will be free tuition.
And technical institutions.
Yeah, government institutions.
Oh dear.
Now we have to understand who will qualify because there's limited spaces there. So at the becomes... cup football knockout football that's taking place in high school, how many people will get there?
It quickly becomes an infrastructure issue.
It doesn't become an infrastructure issue. It becomes, once again, there is Hunger Games taking place on high school level, on secondary school level. Ne? There's knockout football taking place there. Yes, Helmut, it's Battle Royale. You know it. You play Call of Duty every day.
Been there, done that.
You both know
high school and gaming.
Yeah. You know how brutal that principle is. There is Hunger Games knockout cup football. Yeah, it's FA Cup, World Cup, that's taking place there on that, on secondary school. But we've got university that's for free. How many people do you think will get to university? If you're already eliminated at grade 10, you're eliminated at grade, you can eliminate yourself at grade 11. Then there is constrained supply of teachers for the AS level, which is supposed to be your grade 12. Yeah. Now, let's say your school just has grade 11. What will you do then? And they have no teacher that can teach you AS level. You are literally knocked out of the race. You're literally knocked out of the race. Now, where does that person go, Helmut? Where does that person go?
Cross your fingers and hope.
Hope, yeah, exactly, exactly. But yeah. You mentioned another particular unique thing, Helmut. And this is where things really, we now need to reevaluate this strongly into the future. Look, Donald Trump is going to be there for the next 5 years.
2029.
Donald Trump is busy creating turmoil in the global economic sphere of things. All the other countries are now realizing, you know what? Learning from what Russia did back in 2022. And this is the template that everyone is following. Learning what they did. We really need to be talking to each other. Trading more with each other. Because the Americans, with their president that they voted in, has now become everyone's favorite bad guy. If you read that the foreword of the governor of Bank of Namibia, Johannes Kavagap, the report we did, the FDI report, if you read that, his foreword was just about this uncertainty in the global financial sector.
Well, that was the reason behind the mass sale of government bonds globally. Yeah.
Yeah. No, U.S. government bonds.
U.S. government. Oh, yeah.
It was U.S. government bonds. So now everyone is realizing. So now
even China is the biggest buyer of those bonds, right?
Yeah.
When like, you know what? Yeah. Nope.
The Japanese prime minister is saying we will not be dictated to. Do you know that? And they are sitting with the most of American financial assets. Literally, the Japanese, their patience is slowly running out, Helmut. I've seen videos of how members of their parliament are telling the ruling party and its MPs they're telling them, please do not be bullied by the Americans. That's literally what the Japanese are telling. The other MPs, the opposition MPs, are telling the ruling party MPs that are in the cabinet. They're literally supporting each other as a national front. They're literally telling them, don't be bullied by Donald Trump and his antics. Hence the reason why I tied that in with what happened with Ramaphosa on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The antics that Donald Trump pulled there, Helmut. Everyone is highlighting that Ramaphosa was technically embarrassed. He was humiliated. Ramaphosa is a business person. He came there for a specific reason. He came there on the principle of cooperation and let's try and reach a deal. Do you know what the outcome that you would see from that is that Ramaphosa is technically being pushed all the way into BRICS now. Literally all into BRICS.
I think the biggest problem with that is thinking that the whole, farm murders and white genocide is the reason behind the U.S. administration is behaving the way that it's doing. I actually agree with the analysts that are saying that this whole demonization of South Africa is emanating from South Africa taking Israel to the ICC.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with farmers. Actually, with that, they couldn't care less because this is something that they've been going for a very long time. The question that everyone will obviously ask is why now? Mm. We are going to take a live read before we continue.
Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. This is the Velvice University September intake for 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4. This is a one-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse or Midwife. Accoucheur Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek, Kenkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences, Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4 years full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek only. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek only. The application period is from 1 May to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever.
Welcome back, and we continue. So there was a, there's more to it than meets the eye, and because the basic conclusion that everyone will be able to pick up just after a short observation is if Trump really care about anti-genocidal governments, he wouldn't be that cozy with the Israeli Prime Minister.
Yeah.
But to which he is, like, never been more than, because now when the whole thing is more of a political, political garbage. Yeah. That's absolute garbage.
Ah, that's the best. Helmut coined that term.
Mm-hmm. That's
the best ever.
Yeah, that's, the reality is, because you know that you are actually being, that you are lying when opposition parties from the same country are telling you, whatever you are saying that what's going on in our country, that's not it. Believe us, because we're literally from there. Now, getting back to the basic income grant, I think, the whole point of view that if you give people a basic income grant, they are going to abuse that money is to some degree. I think I'll just go ahead and classify that as an insult, because you're just assuming that everyone that actually was smart enough to vote for you was an idiot. Yeah, because look at it this way. because look at it this way. You can't trust me to be smart enough to vote for you, but you can't trust me with, to make a rational decision, to make a rational financial decision.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. No government out there is going to be, is going to have a guarantee that if they gave a basic income grant, everyone will be responsible with that grant. Of course, some people will just, flat out abuse it.
Mm.
But you can't use that small, that small proportion of people as an example to disadvantage everyone.
Well, Helmut, I'm actually sitting with a way better idea in terms of how to generate the money even.
The first thing we have to do, I think, is, for the committee, please, anyone listening, can we just connect, when will the Sovereign Wealth Fund sort of pitch into this discussion?
No, you don't even need the Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Just the taxes, because no, I'm not recommending those ones.
No, not even the taxes.
Yeah.
Remember our lottery discussion last year?
Oh yeah, that.
It's literally there. Helmut, this is not rocket science. This lottery, a national lottery, can earn money for a basic income grant initiative.
Ministry of Home Affairs.
Not Ministry of Home Affairs. A national lottery, Ministry of Environment, it's under them. can
feel. Oh, I thought you were talking about the lottery of the e-visa. So now you're talking about a literal one. Go ahead.
Even that, you're right. Even that. But based upon our calculations you and I made, you know, off air.
Yeah.
48 billion is a bit of a steep number to to just lump at Ministry of Home Affairs' feet.
No.
They've got things
their
to sort.
Their own operations and stuff, yeah.
They've got things to sort out. A national lottery, Helmut, is the quickest moneymaker, the quickest game changer, the quickest inequality eliminator that you can find.
When I get them addicted to gambling, so they can pay them more money.
But your gambling is just, you buy a ticket for $10.
Which we're already doing anyway.
Where?
Huh?
But you have to you have to bet on a sports result. Here you are just betting on a random numbering system to fall in your favor.
I had a, you know, crush on an Afrikaans speaking girl. She went to church together and, you know, the pastor said to Ons, come on, bet. I was like, well, why didn't you tell me there's betting in your church? I would have come, you know, a little sooner. Turns out, you know, the, you know, betting in Afrikaans is praying. Jesus, I did not see that one coming. 2 minutes to the, 2 minutes to the hour of six.
How much
if you just,
you need a lot of prayer. You need a lot of prayer. I thought it was just me that needs the prayer and interventions. I think you need Noah's Ark.
At this point.
The blessings need to come in a boat.
The basic income grant, I think from the report, it's been established that it's a very good initiative. It's a very good initiative. Now, obviously the elephant in the room is, how do we ensure that, how do we gather, what are we going to use as a one-off, if not the main source of revenue to cover this cost? Because it's a monumental task to put, you know, on any ministry or any one ministry or one SOE. It's a one of, you know, it's something that you, would be a brilliant idea if it's more like have multiple sources of revenue. Like you just pointed out, pointed out, you know, our, you know, you know, lottery coming out of the Ministry of, Ministry of Home Affairs. And then, you know, the literal lottery coming out of the Namibia lottery discussion. And you can also maybe a little bit of a national budget. Of course, everything is going to boil down to the national budget.
A lottery? Or you just contribution
to the national budget.
I'll repeat that again. The Austrian Professional Football League was started in the 90s, working of the National Lottery of Austria.
That's it.
Straightforward stuff. Why are we trying to redefine the laws of physics here?
Or more like the laws of economics. But,
it's not difficult, Helmut. It's really not difficult.
Look, all I'm saying is we're gonna have to figure out. This is the burden now on the Ministry of Environment and on the Ministry of Finance, or basically the entire Namibian government, to figure out the revenue, source or sources of revenue that they will have to exploit in order not only to implement the basic income grant but also keep it sustainable. Because you don't want to implement it now and then 2-3 years down the line you're telling people, well, you know what, it's not going to come. Or you have this series of inconsistencies where this month is coming and then 2-3 months nothing is happening. So you want to calculate everything from the oil and gas projection coming out of Deloitte Namibia. That's the type of projection we want to have. Like, you know what, if once we implement it, we want it to go all the way. We don't want to abandon it halfway. Now, to figure that out, we must really find ironclad sources of revenue.
Exactly. And I'm giving you the easiest of the easy.
Yeah, lottery.
Yes, Helmut. Would you want to be an overnight millionaire?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Would you want to participate in a chance against 3 million other Namibians? Yes, you would. Because you know that if they also buy their $10 ticket, it increases the pool size.
You'll have someone coming.
You don't need sport betting or any of those other particular things. You just need to buy your $10, and it's every Tuesday. Every Tuesday the results get announced. The template exists as clear as day and night in South Africa.
Yep.
All it takes is, oh my goodness.
And
I'm actually giving my recommendation is probably way better than that thing.
Someone is going to prey on people's tickets soon. But, you know, as long as you bought the ticket, we're good.
Even that asset forfeiture guy will have a $10 to buy a ticket. And he will have a drastic change in lifestyle, Helmut. Because then suddenly people will be moving on up.
And then I
to
win.
To the east side.
And then I win $1 million. I won't tell anyone, but there'll be signs. First of all.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be so game changing in Namibia.
Yeah.
A national lottery is the quickest way to alleviate people from poverty.
Yeah.
Okay. There have also been worse examples. There's a book that exists that my sister told me about of a lottery winner in South Africa.
Actually, there's an entire research on that one.
Not that research. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about when inequality is so bad that people are robbing each other in the community. They know each other. They know who's robbing who. They know who are the robbers. And then that.
Do they have churches in that?
And the day that that guy won the lottery,
yeah,
the whole community conspired to kill him. It's a well-known story in South Africa.
Jeez.
Just to get to the money. The whole community, because they've been mired in so much inequality, the whole community conspired to kill him.
Okay, even if you kill the guy, it's not like he has the cash lying around.
Homeboy was supposed to obviously buying a house here, buying a Merc there,
oh,
buying
one of
a
those
Beamer
things,
there, you know, and stuff like that. It's literally that research. It feeds into that research. But
yeah.
Then... You, like you said, the telltale signs were then people were like, huh, somebody's loaded. It's always a sad ending to someone that scored dumb luck. Cause that's purely dumb luck. Yeah. You know, everyone participating in the same exercise.
Yeah.
Just takes one ticket to change your fortune.
Yeah. There are a lot of those people have, research indicates they go broke in less than 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was even a guy from England that won the lottery twice, and twice he went broke.
Yeah,
he got scammed, spent it on drugs, was arrested because of being found buying drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, now, obviously, conclusion, all in all, basic income grant, brilliant idea.
Mm.
Big question, sources of revenue. Not only to implement, but also to sustain the program once it's implemented universally, as in nationally. That's another whole point of discussion that, you know, I can imagine every minister of, you know, the minister of education, and I mean, the minister of finance is going, eish! Okay.
I mean, Helmut, what is so difficult?
Now, Lucky is the Minister of Finance, if she, you know, if she's listening to Dwight's brilliant point of view. Or like,
POV. But the thing is, that lottery board sits in the Ministry of Environment. Gambling, casino, legislation is under the Ministry of Environment. Forestry and Tourism.
We're not betting on our country, are we?
No.
Okay.
Because of the tourism dimension, yeah. Where do you get most casinos?
Casinos and hotels.
And hotels.
Yeah.
Which are tourist installations.
Accommodation areas, like preferred.
So, if that lottery legislation can be moved from that ministry. Because to me, that ministry has been sitting on potentially the most game-changing piece of legislature in Namibia. That could have changed people's lives dramatically, Hamut. Helmut, there is money in this country.
You know, one of the most brilliant initiative, or more like a fascinating goodbye everyone can ever leave their office is one where Albert Kawana, the risk that homeboy took on the e-visas because of the criticism that came before the implementation.
Mm.
And then it was implemented, then it started yielding positive result and everyone's like, okay.
18 million
after
31 days.
You know what? You're lucky it worked because God knows if that didn't work.
This is not kitchen politics. When your mom is busy threatening you with you are lucky. You are very lucky.
Dwight, yeah. I know my country. If that e-visa stuff did not work.
It would have been a crucifixion.
Opposition parties would have gone bananas.
We would have had a second Easter even. Shame. Sorry, former minister Gawan. but you obviously would have been the sacrificial lamb.
Oh yeah, but thank heavens it worked. So yeah. That was an excellent way to retire. Yeah. So until Monday for me.
Until Sunday for me, dear listeners. Enjoy the rest of your programming in our company and stay tuned to your programming.
Olio mnangeshefa nohara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira mohoriki radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuru olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konora hitatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe nohamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa konora hitatu natu, mbali o hitatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.